The Dialogue of St. Catherine of Siena, Part 24. How the bodily sentiments are all deceived in the aforesaid sacrament, but not those of the soul. Therefore it is with the latter that one must see, taste, and touch it. And of a beautiful vision this soul had upon this subject. O dearest daughter, open well the eye of your intellect, and gaze into the abyss of my love. For there is no rational creature whose heart would not melt for love, in contemplating and considering, among the other benefits she receives from me, the special gift that she receives in the sacrament. And with what eye, dearest daughter, should you and others look at this mystery, and how should you touch it? Not only with the bodily sight and touch, because in this sacrament all bodily perceptions fail. The eye can only see, and the hand can only touch, the white substance of the bread, and the taste can only taste the savor of the bread, so that the grosser bodily sentiments are deceived. But the soul cannot be deceived in her sentiments unless she wish to be. That is, unless she let the light of the most holy faith be taken away from her by infidelity. How is this sacrament to be truly tasted, seen, and touched? With the sentiment of the soul. With what eye is it to be seen? With the eye of the intellect, if within it is the pupil of the most holy faith. This eye sees in that whiteness whole God and whole man, the divine nature united with the human nature, the body, the soul, and the blood of Christ, the soul united to the body and the soul united with my divine nature, not detached from me, as I revealed to you, if you remember well, almost in the beginning of your life, and not so much at first through the eye of your intellect as through your bodily eye. Although the light being so great, your bodily eyes lost their vision, and only the sight of the eye of your intellect remained. I showed it to you for your enlightenment in the battle that the devil had been waging against you in this sacrament, and to make you increase in love in the light of the most holy faith. You know that you went one morning to church at sunrise to hear Mass, having beforehand been tormented by the devil, and you placed yourself upright at the altar of the crucifix while the priest went to the altar of Mary. You stood there to consider your sin, fearing to have offended me through the vexation which the devil had been causing you, and to consider my love, which had made you worthy to hear Mass, seeing that you deemed yourself unworthy to enter into my holy temple. When the minister came to consecrate, you raised your eyes above his head while he was saying the words of consecration. And I manifested myself to you, and you saw issue from my breast a light, like a ray from the sun, which proceeds from the circle of the sun without being separated from it, out of the midst of which light came a dove, and hovered over the host, in virtue of the words which the minister was saying. But sight remained alone in the eye of your intellect, because your bodily sight was not strong enough to stand the light. And in that place you saw and tasted the abyss of the Trinity, whole God and whole man, concealed and veiled in that whiteness that you saw in the bread. And you perceived that the seeing of the light and the presence of the Word, which you saw intellectually in the whiteness of the bread, did not prevent you from seeing at the same time the actual whiteness of the bread. The one vision did not prevent the other vision. That is to say, the sight of the God-man revealed in the bread did not prevent the sight of the bread, for neither its whiteness, nor its touch, nor its savor were taken away. This was shown you by my goodness, as I have said to you. The eye of the intellect had the true vision, using the pupil of the holy faith. for this eye should be your principal means of vision, inasmuch as it cannot be deceived. Wherefore, with it you should look on this sacrament. How do you touch it? By the hand of love. With this hand alone can you touch that which the eye of intellect has recognized in this sacrament. The soul touches me with the hand of love, as if to certify to herself that which she has seen and known through faith. How do you taste it? With the palate of holy desire. The corporal palate tastes only the savor of the bread, but the palate of the soul, which is holy desire, tastes God and man. See, therefore, that the perceptions of the body are deluded, but not those of the soul, for she is illuminated and assured in her own perceptions, for she touches with the hand of love that which the eye of her intellect has seen with the pupil of holy faith. And with her palate, that is, with fiery desire, she tastes my burning charity, my ineffable love, with which I have made her worthy to receive the tremendous mystery of this sacrament and the grace which is contained therein. See, therefore, that you should receive and look on this sacrament not only with bodily perceptions, but rather with your spiritual perceptions, disposing your soul in the way that has been said, to receive and taste and see this sacrament. Of the excellent state of the soul who receives the sacrament in grace. See, dearest daughter, in what an excellent state is the soul who receives, as she should, this bread of life, this food of the angels. By receiving this sacrament, she dwells in me and I in her, as the fish in the sea and the sea in the fish. Thus do I dwell in the soul, and the soul in me, the sea Pacific. In that soul grace dwells, for since she has received this bread of life in a state of grace, my grace remains in her, after the accidents of bread have been consumed. I leave you the imprint of grace, as does a seal, which when lifted from the hot wax upon which it has been impressed, leaves behind its imprint. So the virtue of this sacrament remains in the soul, that is to say, the heat of my divine charity and the clemency of the Holy Spirit. There also remains to you the wisdom of my only begotten Son, by which the eye of your intellect has been illuminated to see and to know the doctrine of my truth. And together with this wisdom, you participate in my strength and power, which strengthen the soul against her sensual self-love, against the devil, and against the world. You see, then, that the imprint remains when the seal has been taken away, that is, when the material accidents of the bread having been consumed, this true sun star has returned to its center. Not that it was ever really separated from it, but constantly united to me. The abyss of my loving desire for your salvation has given you, through my dispensation and divine providence, coming to the help of your needs, the sweet truth as food in this life, where you are pilgrims and travelers, so that you may have refreshment and not forget the benefit of the blood. See, then, how straitly you are constrained and obliged to render me love, because I love you so much, and, being the supreme and eternal goodness, I deserve your love. How the things which have been said about the excellence of this sacrament have been said that we might know better the dignity of priests, and how God demands in them greater purity than in other creatures. I have told you all this, dearest daughter, that you may the better recognize the dignity to which I have called my ministers, so that your grief at their miseries may be more intense. If they themselves considered their own dignity, they would not be in the darkness of mortal sin, or defile the face of their soul. They would not only see their offenses against me, but also that if they gave their bodies to be burned, they would not repay the tremendous grace and favor which they have received, inasmuch as no greater dignity exists in this life. They are my anointed ones, and I call them my Christs, because I have given them the office of administering me to you, and have placed them like fragrant flowers in the mystical body of the Holy Church. The angel himself has no such dignity, for I have given it to those men whom I have chosen for my ministers, and whom I have appointed as earthly angels in this life. In all souls I demand purity and charity, that they should love me and their neighbor, helping him by the ministration of prayer, as I said to you in another place. But far more do I demand purity in my ministers, and love towards me and towards their fellow creatures, administering to them the body and blood of my only begotten Son, with the fire of charity and a hunger for the salvation of souls, for the glory and honor of my name. Even as these ministers require cleanness in the chalice in which this sacrifice is made, even so do I require the purity and cleanness of their heart and soul and mind. And I wish their body to be preserved as the instrument of the soul in perfect charity. And I do not wish them to feed upon and wallow in the mire of filth, or to be inflated by pride, seeking great prelacies, or to be cruel to themselves or to their fellow creatures, because they cannot use cruelty to themselves without being cruel to their fellow creatures. For if by sin they are cruel to themselves, they are cruel to the souls of their neighbors, in that they do not give them an example of life, nor care to draw them out of the hands of the devil, nor to administer to them the body and blood of my only begotten Son, and me, the true light, as I told you, and the other sacraments of the Holy Church. So that, in being cruel to themselves, they are cruel to others.